The book of Acts, chapter 19. I haven't seen it lately, but I know for a long time, Steve and Harry Ormsby over here at the hardware store, plumbing supply, they had a sign up that said, "Jesus is Lord over London, Kentucky." I remember seeing that. Jesus, I don't think it's there anymore. Might be. I haven't noticed it anyway. I like the sound of that. I don't know exactly how true it is. I know he's in control. But as far as our lives are concerned and the life of the community, I don't think that the majority of the people are making Jesus the Lord of their life or the Lord of the city. But that's what we want to look at this text in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 20, is how that Paul made that city of Ephesus a city that was so wicked and so far removed from truth and from godliness. And he went in there and he made it into a actually, in the margin, if you have a King James Bible, in the margin of my Bible, it says, "Ephesus becomes a center of gospel influence." Praise God. But we all know that that wasn't the truth when he went there. That's not the condition that they were in. But as he went to Ephesus, God used him to turn that thing around to such a degree. He was there for over 2 years. And in that span of time, 2 years and 3 months, or maybe, you know, maybe a little longer than that, but during that span of time, he turned that city upside down. He literally transformed that city of Ephesus that was pretty much filled with all kinds of demonic activity. It was filled with people who were involved in the occult and sorcery and wickedness, just the demonic, and the temple. Diana was a temple. It's supposedly one of the seven wonders of the world, and that temple was the center of pagan worship and all kinds of sinful immorality that took place in their temple worship. And people would come from miles and miles around to come there to see that temple and to participate in that pagan worship. And it was vile, wicked, immoral, terrible things that went on under the name of worship. That's what the Apostle Paul faced when he went to Ephesus. And so when I went through and just personally doing a study of this chapter, last week we were talking about how that God gives opportunities, but there are always opposition. There is always opposition as well. But I want you to look with me at this chapter 19, this topic here tonight: making Jesus Lord over London, Kentucky. Making Jesus Lord over London, Kentucky. Let's read here, and I'm gonna give you six different things here in this text that I see that, and then we're gonna come and pray, and we're gonna receive communion together here at the close of the service. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if it was true that Jesus was truly the Lord? We've allowed him to be the Lord over our city. Amen. And that Satan wouldn't have the upper hand, and darkness and wickedness and all kinds of satanic influence would not have the upper hand, but instead that Jesus would be Lord over our city. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Let's read here, chapter 19, verse number 1. "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were ye baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers or various people, various ones, were hardened and believed not, and spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." There were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In 20 verses, the account is giving of a mighty turnaround of a place called Ephesus that was wholly given to idolatry, to pagan worship, and to some of the most vile and wicked things under the term worship that you could imagine that went on at this temple of Diana, the goddess of Diana. And Ephesus was not a likely place to become a center for evangelism and for revival. But that is what happened. That is what happened. And as far as I can understand from the text, it was 2 years and 3 months that this happened in. 2 years and 3 months brought about a tremendous turnaround. And a city that was once given over to wickedness and evil. And now there's such a transformation that Ephesus becomes a place of victory and revival, and the gospel going into many, many places through the work of God that was accomplished there at Ephesus. Now, so when Paul came to Ephesus, they were just controlled by the demonic, by superstition, by spiritual darkness. That was what was prevalent in the city. He goes and immediately goes, when he goes to Ephesus, he goes to the brethren and to the believers. And as he comes to them, he first puts the priority on, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And this is just one of several accounts in the scripture or in the book of Acts, where whenever they received the Holy Ghost, there was this initial evidence that they spoke with other tongues. And this was what happened here in chapter 19. But after he speaks to them and talks to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "We've not so much as heard of this Holy Ghost. We've been baptized unto John the Baptist, but we don't know what you're talking about." He instructed them. He told them what this was all about. And the scripture says in verse number 6 that when he laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And there were 12 men. All of the men were about 12 men. So that may mean that there were 12 men and possibly others who were in their families. Maybe their wives, maybe their children, an extended family. We really don't know. But it just lists these 12 men that were filled with the Spirit of God. That's point number one. There has to be a saturation. There has to be a move of God. If we are to counter the darkness of our city, it is only going to be by the Spirit of God. That's the only way. There is no other way. Paul wrote from Ephesus to the Christians at Corinth. This is what he said. He says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's what he wrote from Ephesus to the Christians at Corinth. While he's there at Ephesus, he writes to them and tells them, I'm in the middle of a spiritual battle. I am in the middle of a conflict of the Spirit. And I know that the only way that it is going to be one, understanding that the weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They are not of the flesh, but they are of the Spirit. And so whenever you're asking the Lord, "Lord, send revival and move among our community, in our city. Would you work and move among us in London, Kentucky?" We need to ask the Lord, "Lord, help us to win this battle first and foremost by the Spirit and in the Spirit." Amen. Later on, when he is a prisoner at Rome, he writes back to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 6 and 12, the same theme. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. The only way that our community and our city can become a place where Christ is Lord over this city, once again, is as we depend upon the power of the Spirit. And we become a people of the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit, that our church is anointed, our ministry is anointed, our influence and our witness is an anointed ministry. It is directed and led of the Holy Spirit of God. So when Paul comes to Ephesus, he gives emphasis to those Christians that are there. "Have you received since you believed?" He laid hands upon them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the first emphasis of Paul when he came to Ephesus, and ought to be a renewed emphasis among you and I who are Christians and believers right here in London, Kentucky. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. We need to be renewed in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. It is absolutely dependent upon the power of the Holy Ghost if we are to be able to face this spiritual war and win this war. Amen. It is only by the power of the Spirit of God. This thing that we're dealing with right now, this alcohol situation, it's only one little small part of the great spiritual battle that we're dealing with, and have been for a long, long time, through many other ways that it's manifesting, that the enemy is manifesting his work and his influence in our community. But a move of God, a revival will change the community, and a renewed dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Number two, boldness. Boldness to preach the truth. Boldness to declare the truth. We need boldness. Amen. Glory to God. We know that in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that the scripture says that we'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. That power, it's very, very specific there, that power is given to us so that we will be witnesses. We will have the power to influence people through the power of the gospel. Amen. To touch the lives of people through the power of the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The scripture says that Paul, that he first came and gave emphasis to the Holy Ghost. And then the scripture says in verse 8 that he went into the synagogues and began to speak. He spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. The early church, one of the characteristics of the early church was that they were Spirit-empowered to be witnesses, to speak with power and authority. There was a boldness that came by the Holy Ghost that caused them to be able to face whatever the challenge was, Whatever the opposition was, and there will be opposition. There is always opposition. Satan never wants to give up any territory. He doesn't want to give up. And that's why that strongholds cannot be brought down in our own strength. It is only by the Spirit. It's only by the working and the moving of the Spirit of God that spiritual strongholds can be brought down. The enemy won't give up easily, will he? No, he will not. But as we are spiritual people filled with the Spirit and moving forward, declaring the truth with boldness, we don't have to be obnoxious about it. We don't have to be mean-spirited about it. But we need to be clear and we need to be bold and stand for the truth. Stand for the truth of God's Word. Stand for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand up for what the Word of God says so that we can have the influence that God wants us to have so that our city, our community, that Jesus can become Lord over London, Kentucky. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. When he preached with boldness, the Scripture says that their hearts were hardened. This is in verse 9. And you can kind of see what is happening. Their heart is first hardened. And then they refused to believe. And then they tried to discredit. They spoke evil of the way. That was what was going on. They were resistant to the gospel. Hardened their hearts. Refused to believe. And then they spoke evil of the way. You say, oh, that seems like for the space of 3 months that the Apostle Paul, he did his best to convince them. He's in the synagogue. He's among the Jews. He's trying to speak to them and to convince them of the truth. I believe that he probably did convince some. Obviously, he didn't convince the majority because the majority ruled and they were like pushing him out. We don't want you here. We don't want you here. You get out of our synagogue. We don't want your influence here. And it may seem like that it was a defeat, but it wasn't, because the Scripture says he departed from them and separated the disciples, the converts that he had won, and he saw that they might be affected by what was going on and this opposition. So he separated his disciples from them and he took them to the school of one Tyrannus. As I understand, this was a school, a Jewish school of training, like higher advanced learning. We would probably call it like a seminary, where they have got converted, they've been instructed in the temple, but now they've stepped up, and now these Jews are being taught in the school of Tyrannus here in the city of Ephesus. But we don't know how that Paul got the favor, except that God opened the door. As a matter of fact, I understand that this very account here is what Paul is writing about when he says, I'm going to have to stay in Ephesus another 2 years. The text we used last Sunday night. I want to stay in Ephesus for a while longer because a great door and effectual has opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. He was in the middle of this struggle with those Jews who were rejecting and were resisting the gospel. But God has miraculously opened up a door in this Jewish school of Tyrannus. And as I understand it, the Jewish training was took place in the early morning hours up closer to noon. And then they would go rest throughout the warm, hot part of the day and then come back and complete later on in the evening. But apparently this fellow Tyrannus, he must have been a businessman, because the commentaries say, if you can believe what they say, they all agree that this person probably he gave to Paul, more or less rented his school place to him. And so after all of the Jewish instruction was over with, they would leave, and he would have a space of 3 or 4, maybe more hours during that time that he would hold services. And he would preach the gospel and he'd continue with the spreading of the gospel. This account is what Paul was talking about when he said, I've faced all this opposition, but a great door and effectual has opened unto me. Because not only is he confined to just preaching to the Jews, but he can talk to the Greeks and the Gentiles and whoever wants to walk in the door. It's just a rented place that he has. And the scripture says here that during this time that he disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Amen. That was the great door. That was the great effectual opportunity that came to the Apostle Paul. It came as a result of the power of the Spirit over spiritual darkness in that city. It came because God gave to the Apostle and probably the other disciples boldness to go in to dispute with the Jews and declare the gospel. And even though there's all this opposition, God opened up a door. And in this period of 2 years, everybody in all of Asia, both the Jews and the Greeks, heard the gospel. You talk about an open door. God began to work in such a mighty way by his Spirit. Let me tell you, God can open some doors. God can give victories over spiritual darkness and over spiritual wickedness only by the Spirit of God. But we're going to have to be filled with the Spirit, and we're going to have to be willing to go forth and boldly declare the word of the Lord. I have a tremendous amount of respect for this gentleman that was with us Thursday night, Steve Smith, who is a prosecuting attorney, who is a U.S. attorney, and has to be careful as far as his job is concerned not to get involved in a conflict of interest. But he spoke, as you all that were here know, he spoke very clearly and very effectively to the situation that we're in. And I just pray, Lord, give him boldness, and give every one of us boldness so that we'll speak not only on this issue, but that we'll be willing to spread the gospel everywhere, to have an influence so that the city of London can be influenced to such a degree that we could say, Jesus is Lord over London, Kentucky. Amen. Glory to God. I believe the Apostle Paul was so mightily used that he turned that wicked, evil city of Ephesus from a place that was filled with the demonic and all of this gross immorality, and he turned it into a gospel center, used of the Lord to spread the gospel to all of Asia. My goodness, what an amazing, amazing turnaround in a community. Not only that, but whenever you're willing to be used of the Lord and you speak the word of the Lord with boldness, that you'll see that there is a Bible precedent for what happened in the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Because then it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul as a result of what was happening, to confirm with signs and wonders. These signs shall follow them that believe. He confirms with signs and wonders, confirms his word. Amen. With the supernatural. And that's what happens. That's what is happening here. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Supernatural working and moving of God. That's number three. Number one is a dependence upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Number two is boldness to declare the truth of God's word in the face of opposition. The third thing is the demonstration of the power of God. Demonstration of miracles and signs and wonders that take place whenever we are moving in the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Let me give you some other scriptures here. Acts 2 and 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. The ministry of Jesus Christ. Why, yes, he taught. He taught the principles of the kingdom, and he instructed and he preached the message of truth to that generation. But the Bible says here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 that he was approved of God, and that he confirmed his ministry, that he was truly of God, by signs and miracles and wonders.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how God confirms his ministry. That's how he convinces wicked, evil people that God is truly speaking and God is really working. Whenever there is the supernatural hand of God and there are signs and wonders and miracles that are apparent among us. Amen. This is not something that we talk about that used to happen. There is a biblical precedent that is established here that whenever we move forward in the power of the Spirit, we declare boldly the word of the Lord and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there are going to be signs and wonders to confirm his word. Amen. There are going to be miracles. There are going to be healings. There's going to be the demonstration of the supernatural power of God to confirm the fact that God is working among his people. Hallelujah. That's number three. Number four, we've got to read on here. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. Basically, what they were doing is just saying, we want to get in on this. They were sorcerers, and they were of the demonic, and they saw what was going on, and they said, we want to get in on this spiritual activity. We want to involve ourselves in that. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? It's interesting that there are two different Greek words that are used here to describe Jesus I know and Paul I know. The word know there in the case of Jesus is a word that means I know from experience. I know with certainty. Jesus I know. This is this demonic spirit that's speaking. I know he's the Son of God. And the different word that's used to say, and Paul I know, it means that I'm remotely acquainted with him. I know a little bit about him. I've had a little bit of experience with him. Jesus I know for certain he's the Son of God and he's got power over me. And Paul, I've heard a little about him as well. Amen. Amen. Point number four. Exposing the counterfeit. Whenever there is a legitimate move of God, there's always going to be the enemy who tries to come forward with the counterfeit, not the reality. Amen. Anytime there's a revival, anytime there's a legitimate move of God, the enemy, he likes to step in there and throw confusion into the situation, hinder it and stop it if he possibly can. But what he does whenever there is a real move of God is he exposes the wicked. And that's what happened here. That demonic spirit jumped on those men and harmed them physically, tore all their clothes off, literally destroyed any influence that they could have and exposed them for what they were. Literally. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's what the Lord can do. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost is moving and there's a real move of the Spirit of God, and Brother Bright was talking this morning about those that are come to a level of spiritual maturity. There in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the fact that they are able to discern both good and evil. Their senses are exercised, and so they're in tune and they're sensitive to that which is evil. I've been in services, and I'm not that old of a guy, but I've been in services where pastors have said, okay, you can be seated. There's nothing to that. That's not anything. And someone who is prophesying or speaking in tongues, there's nothing to that. That's nothing. Be seated. I've been in services where pastors have literally taken authority over situations that the enemy was trying to do to bring division and cause trouble in the services. And I remember one particular time when Brother D.C. Branham, he literally set a lady down in the service and said, okay, that's enough. You know, that's not what we believe. That is not what we believe. And he sat her down in the service. I believe whenever there is a move of God, there is this ability to discern that which is good and that which is evil, exposing the counterfeit. Amen. Glory to God. Making Jesus Lord over London, Kentucky. Now let's keep going here. This was known, what just happened to those seven sons of Sceva. This was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Amen. Number five, Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Holy Ghost conviction that falls and begins to deal with the hearts of people. I know that you have heard about these type of things, but I've heard of such revivals in communities, those revivals at the turn of the century that were so powerful that people in the communities, people in police stations, went to police stations trying to find out what's going on with me. I don't understand what is going on in my life. I need to know. They were so under conviction, they did not understand what they needed to do next. Amen. There can be such a move of God's Spirit that people that are in their sin can be convicted of their sin and realize that they are not where they need to be with the Lord at all. And that's what happened here. Both the Jews and the Greeks, the fear of the Lord fell on them. And the Lord's name was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also that used curious arts. As I said, this city was so full of the demonic, so full of the occult, so involved in the darkness of all that wicked worship, that they were so convicted of what they were doing that they brought their books and their curious arts and they built a big bonfire and they burned it all. And the scripture says and found it afterwards. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And as I understand it, that the average person at that time, one piece of silver was a year and a half of wages for the common average person at that time. So you talk about a revival. You talk about a working of the Spirit of God when conviction fell and they brought their curious arts and all their wickedness and all those things that resembled or that represented their rebellion before God. And they just threw it into a bonfire. Amen. Burned it all up and got rid of those things that was in their life. Conviction of sin. I pray that conviction will fall upon our lives and will fall upon our community here in London, Kentucky, that people, that they will be under conviction, that God will make men and women convicted of their sin. That will happen when there's a real move of God in our community. Amen. The last verse is verse 20. Here's the result. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. Growth. Growth. Advancement, the growth of the Word of God, the growth of the church, the advancing of the kingdom of God. That was the result. Amen. And Ephesus was transformed, as I understand it, in 2 years and 3 months. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if that can happen, that's the reason that Paul said what he did. I got to stay here in Ephesus because this house, this school of Tyrannus has opened up to me, and now I'm going to have to stay here because this is a wide open door. And it proved to be true that all of Asia heard the gospel. The Jews and the Greeks, Gentiles, hallelujah. The church grew and advanced. The word of the Lord grew and prevailed, hallelujah. Amen. My prayer tonight is, Lord, help us to make Jesus Lord over our city once again. Amen. Lord over our city once again. The revival that took place, that was the beginning days of our church. What I know about that revival is that there were people. There were people such as business people, judges, people who had position in the community and influence of the community. They were affected. They were the ones that were affected. And those were the ones who were the beginnings of this church over 100 years ago. Amen. People of influence who touched the lives of a lot of people. I just pray that conviction will fall on City Hall. Conviction will fall in the courts of our city and our county. That God would work in the hearts of men and women of this community. And that it'll start right here with you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, that great things can be done. And I know, Lord, that we are facing spiritual wickedness in high places. I know, Lord, that we're dealing with all kinds of darkness, but nothing to compare with what was going on in Ephesus. Nothing to compare with the evil and the depth of wickedness that was there. And Lord, you used Paul and the other Christians in that city to turn that place around for the glory of God. Do it here again, Lord. Would you do it, Lord, in our community? Would you turn things around for the glory of God, we pray. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, as a church located right here in the center of this city. Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to pursue the things of God and the power of God in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd just like to invite everybody to come here to the front. And let's just line up here across the front of this building. And let's pray for London, Kentucky. Let's pray for our community and for the churches of our community. That God will deal with us and that God would deal with each church and each leader and each pastor. And God would just speak by the power of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come together and let's pray all across this sanctuary. Would you come? Let's come down to this altar. Let's pray together. And then in just a few minutes after we spend a little time here praying, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together here tonight. Would you come? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.